Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome Sean Springs into a special edition of the Tim May podcast here right now. And Sean, you and I go back a long way. We'll talk about that on some other podcast, but you go back a long way with Dwayne Haskins Jr. And I know the news of the weekend hits you sideways, just like it did everybody else, probably like a 2x4 upside the head. But just what are your immediate thoughts when you think about Dwayne Haskins Jr., what he meant to you? You know, you helped really kind of get his quarterbacking career going, really, you know, when he was 11 or 12 years old, and you saw him at a little camp, I think it was in New Jersey, and you urged his mom and dad to, hey, move him down into the Washington area, like this Bullis school or something like that, where he could get even better tutelage. But just pick it up from there, man, your first impressions of this young man. But first, you know, I want to give a little background before I ask you just how this news hit you, but how did it hit you on Saturday?
Yeah, well, you know, I was devastated, man. I'm still in shock a little bit about the whole Dwayne situation. Obviously, he is like a son to me and grew up with my kids. And I've been knowing Dwayne since he was 12 years old. And you know, and it was just, it's just, you know, I've never been in a position where I've lost a parent. But I've never been in a position where someone like a son to me or a child to me or a little brother, however you want to put it, goes before me, right? He's 24 years old. So you never think about it like that. So that was one thing. And then, you know, it's just, you know, just trying to get through it, man, day by day. You know, you're hearing all the amazing stories about Dwayne. Obviously, I'm still, for me, I'm still in shock. So, you know, I haven't really spoken about it too much to the media or anything because it's personal to me. But, you know, I'm here today with you, brother.
I know. Sean, you and I go way back, man. I mean, hey, you can say it now, Mr. May. I'm the best cornerback in college football. And that coming off the field at the Rose Bowl. So you ready to declare for the NFL draft yet? No, not yet.
I used to tell you that before we went to the Rose Bowl. I think I used to tell you that every day after practice and stuff. And, you know,
you were, man. Ask Notre Dame.
And Tim, you wrote a story on me and stuff, and you know, kind of always encouraged me, man. Like, you know, just keep working, man. And you became like family. You know, I think you covered the team, but you was more like family to like a lot of the guys, you know, at that time, 18, 19, 20 years old, man. You give us little pointers here and there. And like, honestly, I would say, you know, we deeper podcast between our relationship, but you were one of the first people who actually taught me how to interview. right. Like, you know, you was coaching us up at the time because the way you presented the questions, like, hey, this, and this. And then you would talk to us afterwards. And some of the things that you didn't put on record because we might have misspoken or something, you knew what we were trying to articulate, man. And you really took care of us back then, brother.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like a farmer all of a sudden getting a microphone shoved in his face. You know what I mean? Asked about the drought. Well, some people need some help along the way. I never got the check from you guys, though. I mean, I appreciate that. I wanted to ask you this, though, Sean. From the get-go,
right,
this kid impressed you, Dwayne Haskins Jr. impressed you. I remember writing a story about it with you talking about him for the Columbus Dispatch. And just, you know, like you said, your little boy could throw the ball up at like 20, 25 yards. All of a sudden, this guy's, you know, from his ear, he's flicking it like 50, right?
Yeah, who's this high school kid out there, man, with all these other little kids, man? And then you see, you know, he was a little heavy set at the time and had a little round face and stuff. And, I mean, he had a cannon on him. And I remember he came up to me and said, hey, Mr. Springs, you know. And I said, hey, you know. And Skyler introduced Mr. Dwayne. And next thing you know, he was telling me how he played with me in Madden. So, and he was a big Ohio State fan.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. You've seen that video of him, you know, in the Ohio State weight room when he came on a visit with his dad way back when he was 11, 12, about that same time frame, you know, wearing that number 7 jersey. And boy, just he always exuded. This is the best way. He always exuded a confidence and an air. He had an air about him. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you agree. Mm-hmm. Not all little kids do. You had an air about you, man. I mean, there was. Yeah, you had things to learn, et cetera. And one of your famous lines to me, too, was, hey, I didn't tell him to redshirt me my first year. Remember, because you stayed 4 years. You just didn't, you know, you left after your, quote, junior year. But, I mean, you always had this air about you that was like, a little bit further reaching than maybe some players, you know, and I'm talking about far thinking of where you were headed and stuff. And he kind of had that about him too. Cause like you said, man, he was breaking down defenses when he was 11, 12, 15 years old. Right.
Yeah. I recall a time watching a little tape, and I think it was an All-Star game, and you know, we were watching tape and he threw a seam route and it was a little bit like short. And then I said, next time you got to put it right over top of the linebackers. And like three plays later on the same tape, he had already made that correction himself in that game. And I was like, well, see that throw? you could already do it. So, you know, Dwayne, he was that kid, you know, he had a vision, you know, he knew from day one where he wanted to, what he wanted to accomplish. And all he needed is people in his life to support him and give him the, you know, the direction, like, here's how you do it. You want to go to Ohio State? I got his very first workout. Let's go to the field. Let me see how you run. Right. And we just ran and he almost died. And it might've been like one gasser, but he almost died. And I was like, well, when you can run 5-6 of these and you can still stand up and then go do your workout, then you're able to go to Ohio State. And I just, you know, and it's so funny because we talked about that, you know, because he was thinking about going to Maryland, play for Coach Loxley and Edsel with those guys at the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because we were nervous about, you know, Ohio State didn't have a running quarterback and he's not a runner, he's a pocket passer. So we were nervous about, you know, just what the situation would be like with, you know, with Coach Myers there.
Yeah.
And then Coach Herman, I think, was the coach at the time who was recruiting him. And it was always weird because, you know, I had to get, you know, special permission. But when they went back and realized that, like, no, I'm like, he actually is like my kid. like I found the top recruit overnight. I found him at 10, 11, you know. So, but he just had a drive about him and he was, you know, excited about just, you know, this being the best, you know, and it wasn't easy for Dwayne because, you know, he had to work hard at Bullis and then he gets to Ohio State and he's like third on the depth chart. Then I had to give him a story. I was like, dude, I was fourth on the depth chart. At least you're third, right? You know? And then, you know, he stuck in there, hung in there with JT when we're in the era where kids like to transfer. We just talked about it, man. And we, you know, and he's hung in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because he did commit to Maryland early, and then Coach Edsel was there, got fired, and Coach Loxley left, and like you said, all of a sudden he was a free agent. Like Urban said, they had a kid committed. I can't remember because they had a couple of kids back and forth, you know, and all of a sudden they needed a quarterback, and Coach Meyer said, you know, he immediately called up, called Dwayne, and next thing you know, he was at his house or visiting his school, and next thing you know, he committed to Ohio State. That had to be a big day for you, though, didn't it? That he finally ended up going to Ohio State.
Yeah. I loved Ohio State. I still love Ohio State, obviously, you know, with my family tradition and how we feel about Ohio State. But, you know, it was the best for Dwayne. You know, it was all about, you know, what made him happy and the best situation for him. So he was never pressured to go to Ohio State. In fact, I never even talked to him about Ohio State until, you know, when the coaches started to come around. I was like, he had my first offer from Ohio State. I was like, oh, yeah, man, that's good, you know. And then, you know, we talked about, like, who else did you get, right? You know, so.
Yeah, I like how you try to stay impartial. That's a good sign. It's good quality by you, Sean. It's probably why you're a good salesman. I wanted to ask you this. I'm sure you've talked to him in recent years and stuff, but was there a sense? Exactly. Was there a sense that had he found a new sort of like you know what I mean? Because, you know, like I said, he is as good a quarterback as I ever saw play quarterback at Ohio State for what he did. He forced Urban Meyer, literally, to change his offense. I mean, that's how good he was. You know, like you just talked about, Urban always liked a guy that could run and throw. They were always looking for the most talented guy they could get. But running was always a really good part of that. And, you know, let's face it, Dwayne didn't run until he got to Maryland in that one game, and he had to. You know, and I'm sure you remember that, you know, he came all of a sudden, who's this guy? But my point is, you know, I look at him as that the way he snowballed his that year and just became this great quarterback in 2018 after leading to the victory in 2017 off the bench at Michigan, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to the NFL. He's a first round draft pick and everybody's expecting this, this and this. As you well know, you played in the NFL for all those many years. it doesn't always click with some people
immediately, right?
And the situation's not always ideal. But did you feel for him what he was going through the last couple of 3 years, especially at Washington when things didn't work out?
Well, exactly. And we had some long discussions and talks about it. But, you know, part of it is coming into the NFL. I used to always grade Dwayne. He'd tell you, like, you know, when he first got in Ohio State, he said, "We're starting over. You at 60%, right? Yeah. I'll let you know when you get up to like 90%, 95, like a Madden rating." And the same thing started in the NFL. Like, you at 60% starting all over, right? And you know, it was a tough situation in Washington because obviously it's home. But, you know, for some reason, it had change of leadership, coach Aaron McGruden, and there was talk about, you know, they didn't really want him in Washington, and Coach Rivera was going to give him a little shot, but he didn't really have no practice. So he just came into a tough situation. And then, he, you know, he made some knucklehead mistakes. We talked about those guys, but I told him it is what it is. Like, it's not like other players, you know, haven't made mistakes before. But I also had to explain to Dwayne the difference between a corner or a receiver, you know, doing things versus a quarterback who's the executive CEO of the team. And it, you know, and that started to kick in, especially when he went and played for Coach Tomlin, where I think that's where I started to see over the last 6 months, he was just, over the last year, being in Pittsburgh, he just was, you know, like, what's the word, reinvigorated, you know, just being there in that organization. And I think Ben Roethlisberger did a wonderful job of just, you know, obviously he was coming to the end of his career, so he felt comfortable being around Ben and Ben helping him. And I think he learned a lot from Ben. And then Mike Tomlin, who's an excellent coach and a great motivator, was just telling him, like, you got a shot here. So I know he was changing. He was taking chess lessons. We talked last week and he was telling me about chess lessons.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was up there? Just the develop his mind even more? What do you think is going on there, man?
You know, you just try to do something different and stuff. So we started laughing about that. And, you know, unfortunately, he went down to Florida to throw some of his teammates.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that was a good sign, too, right? That, he's throwing with this guy that is going to be competing for the same job he is, Mitch Trubisky. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the other quarterback didn't show up. But, yeah. Hey, well, last thing, Sean, you've been around pro football. You were around pro football a lot and stuff. Do you think Dwayne in the right situation? Do you think he had the goods? Do you think he had the goods to finally?
I do. I think, you know, well, I tell people all this time, and it's like, well, you know, college is different. And the guy, I was like, well, a guy for not starting, obviously, but 1 year, those 50 touchdowns in the Big Ten. I was like, that's not disrespect football. The Big Ten is pretty, a pretty good conference to throw 50 touchdowns. There's a lot of great quarterbacks come out of that conference. And although it's not the NFL, it ain't far off, right? You know, you're playing against some guys who are going to be starting on Sundays in the NFL at corner, linebacker, D-line, and so on. I do. I think Dwayne needed to focus, and I think he, you know, the situation in Washington helped him refocus, and then going to Pittsburgh, which was a great organization, helped him gain confidence that he needed, because you know what it is. The difference between a guy who's a startup and a backup, it's very minimal, right? You know, so you have to be able to, you got to be on point. You got to be on edge, and you always got to be ready to go. And it takes a lot of discipline and dedication to the game to be the best.
Yeah, I think Mike Tomlin was going to be just what he wanted. I mean, Ryan Day even talked about that. We got to speak to him today about it, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hey, last thing, you're close with his family and stuff. Mm-hmm. And our heart goes out to these folks. You've known them for a long time now and stuff. And I don't know what you as a confidant and stuff, what would be your encouragement? What would you be your encouragement? Not just to them, but to Dwayne had a lot of fans, a lot of friends out there and stuff. What would you just tell them about him that could maybe help them get through this right now?
Yeah, it's pretty tough. It's pretty hard thing to get through, and his family is still in shock, and it's devastating to a lot of friends and teammates. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all got to realize that life is short and we got to, you know, maximize the moment and opportunity. And if you think about Dwayne and you says, wow, like, you know, he's 24 years old and he has so much potential and so much to offer, you know, we're excited to see what what's going to happen, I think we should all take a look at ourselves and say, are we doing everything we can do today to maximize our potential, be the best version of ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, you made me do that. On Saturday, I just go, boy, you just get wrapped up in all kinds of things, watching the Masters, you know, all this stuff's going on. And then, boy, this sledgehammer comes out of left field, and it does make you take stock. Hey, Sean Springs, man, as usual, great conversation with you, man. I don't know if you bring out the best in me or if I bring out the best in you, but
I used to get me in trouble. You know, I got banned from talking to you for 3 months after I talked about the whole Keith Poole. And so, no, it was actually 96 when I talked crazy the whole time about how many catches I would let people have. Coach Cooper stuff. He's like, do not talk to Tim Mayne no more about what you're going to do and give the other team fuel. I was like,
hey, the great thing I like about guys like you, and there have been a few of you guys come through Iowa State, you never know what's going to – the best guys to interview, the ones where you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. You know what I mean? And you kind of go, well, wait a minute. He's in his fourth year now. He's got to know – he's got to have an ulterior motive here, what he's saying. You know what I mean? And, but you're exactly right. I mean, you got to admit, I didn't try to jerk it out of your mouth, but when it came out, I didn't. When I got it in the boat, I kept it in the boat. You know what I mean? I didn't throw that fish back.
Hey, Springs, what do you think about this receiver at Notre Dame? Oh, yeah, Tim, he's sorry. But you know what?
Dude, I tell you what, though, man, 1995, Ron Pallas is going at Sean Springs. I go, you got to be kidding me, right? You got to be kidding me. That's one of the great interceptions in Ohio Stadium history.
Oh, God, that was a pretty sweet pick.
Remember the guy ran a stop and you just ran the fade? The guy, you know,
He actually was trying to run a fade. Me and Derek Mays talked about it. We ended up being teammates in Seattle, and I jammed him up at the line. And so we talked about that. That was my second favorite play of my own personal play of myself. That was my second favorite.
What was number one?
Man, I don't even know, Tim. You might need to investigate it. If we played Michigan up there the year, obviously Tim Biakabu took a ran wild. But Mercury Hayes jumped up and caught the ball with one hand, and I jumped over his back and took it. Never put my other hand on. No one even knows what it is. Went to a timeout. No one talks about if it was an interception or fumble. When they talk about the Woodson one-hand catch, that was the best play I've ever made in my career of all years playing football.
Dude, I'm getting a flashback when I have you back on, because we're going to talk about a lot of things that are interesting about you in your life, especially after football, where you've tried to make a difference. But I'm going to look that up, get a clip, and we're going to run it, man. We're going to figure it out. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Sean Springs. Sean Springs, thanks for joining me.
All right. Thank you.